Amen. Philippians chapter 4 today. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians is a joyful book. It's one of the prison epistles. And you wouldn't expect this much rejoicing and joy to be in a book. But chapter 4 is very familiar to Christians who've read through their Bibles. We like to park there. We like to get to Philippians and especially chapter 4. It's a lot of help. But we will begin reading, let's see, in verse 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Sorry. Thank you, Paul. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It says everything by prayer. It also says there, be careful for nothing. Nothing and everything. You have in the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 8. Here's instruction for a Christian. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And we're going to look at what those things are today. Father, bless your word. Thank you for it. Thank you for the Spirit of God and how this word can be so powerful in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us victory, that you'd take this weak flesh and your spirit make it strong. In Jesus' name, amen. Christians are instructed to do something, and that is we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And this is a favorite that we quote when we're looking to change our mind about something, because sometimes we look at the negative, but sometimes the negative is true, and we have to look at it. So you have all kinds of instruction here, and it's one verse. You could spend a lot of time studying, but we're going to use it just as a springboard into the message. But we're instructed to think about certain things. So God gives those things in the Word because that's the instruction He's giving us. Good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. And there's no rhyme or reason in our way of looking at things many times that it justifies it. We know this as a believer: when bad things happen to good people, we have the Lord's help, and that's a blessing to have His help and His strength, and so we respond to that. 1 Corinthians 13:7, again, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. In Philippians, that one verse, things is seven times. In this verse, things are four times mentioned, and it says, beareth all things, endureth all things. What is the Bible talking about? What is God talking about? What does He want us to bear? What does He want us to endure? What does He want us to think about? Because that's how we can have peace. That's how we can have joy. That's how we can have victory. It's Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now that's an important verse because it has to do with our heart. It has to do with our affection. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. It's not the opposite way for the believer, because again, that's where the peace of God comes from. So you see how important it is to be able to identify things above and things on the earth, because that's what God tells you to think about. Amen? That's what He tells you to put your heart into. How about, there's so many sayings about this. In the grand scheme of things, you ever hear anybody say that? In the grand scheme of things, well, what in the world are they talking about? And I guess it would depend on the hearer and what he perceives that to mean. whether it's political, whether it's disease, whether it's financial, whatever it is, in the grand scheme of things, it depends on the context of the conversation. What things? How about what Einstein quoted? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. Why can't I get that? Why can't I get that? Maybe you have got that down, but what thing? That which causes trouble, okay? And if we do the thing that causes trouble, and we keep doing that thing, and we expect it's not going to cause trouble anymore. I mean, you go into the bank, and you rob the bank, and you get thrown in jail. You don't get out of prison and go rob a bank again, right? That would be kind of dumb, unless you got away with it, yeah. how about this one? The most popular thing is, well, that would depend if you like sports, if you like this, if you like that. Well, the most popular thing in my life, and so we have all of this wide area of choice, and we have to fine-tune that to say, what does God want us to think about? Because that's really the important thing. Keep the main thing, right? But what is the main thing? Well, in the Bible, Ecclesiastes ends the book with the whole duty of man. This is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. You go to Matthew, love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your might. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I mean, you have all kinds of verses like that in the Bible where you can say, well, this is the main thing, or this is the main thing. And I think that's important to know that. 1 Corinthians 3:22. Things present or things to come. They're two different categories, right? So we set our affection on things above, things to come. But there's part of that that's taking place right now. But it says things present and things to come. A lot of groundwork here. Hebrews 6:9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things which accompany salvation. So here's some believers. This is how they're living. This is their relationship to God and to each other. And the writer of Hebrews says, we look for better things from you, things that accompany salvation. Well, what should accompany our salvation? We're born again of the Spirit, so we're like little children who desire the sincere milk of the word. That's how we find out what these things are, right? Through the word. And as we find out what the things are, that's what we put our affection on. That's what we put our mind on. And we grow in grace and, what's the other word? Grace and knowledge. Thank you, Richard. We grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those are the things that we're supposed to do. So the better things are things that accompany salvation. That would be prayer, it would be faith, it would be showing mercy, it would be all of those things which are important. 1 Corinthians 10:6. Now these things were our examples. He's talking about some judgments, some hardships, some hard times, some illustrations of that. And he says this, these things, these trials, were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So here's some things that we're not supposed to think about. Here's some things that are warnings. We're not supposed to be involved in this. We're just supposed to take that as don't do that because there would be a penalty for that. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15 and 16. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, there are four things that saith it is enough. So there's four things the Bible gives us that are never, ever satisfied. One is the grave. Two, the barren womb. Three, the earth that is not filled with water. And the fire that saith not it is enough. So you just keep throwing wood on the fire. It's never satisfied. It'll keep burning it. You pour water in the desert and it'll just keep soaking it up. So all of those things. But there is a fifth one, and there's probably a sixth one and a seventh one. A covetous person. He's never satisfied. He just wants a little bit more. There was a very wealthy man and they asked him that question. How much is enough? And he said, just a little bit more. You know, never satisfied. In this life, there are good things and there are bad things. And we're going to look at that today. because there are good things and there are bad things. Now, what is it in the eye of the beholder? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? What's a good thing to one might be a bad thing for another. What's a bad thing for one might be a good thing to another. Here's a guy, he wants to go golfing. Well, I know we have a couple professional golfers in our church, but anyway, he wants to go golfing, but it's raining. Oh, that's a bad thing. But the farmer, whose crops are going to wither or die, sees the rain as a good thing, right? And so what is it? One man's trash is another man's treasure. You know, you have that in garage sales. And you go to a garage sale and you buy all this stuff and put it in your garage sale next year. It just keeps on going, but it's extra money, amen? And so you have things like that. I had a job one time. My stepfather got it for me a long time ago. And he was a carpenter, and he worked for B&B Construction. And I was unemployed, and he got me a job, and I made $4.25 an hour. And back when I took that job, that was big money, big money. And I thought, boy, this is going to be great, until we poured cement every day or put brick up, and you had to carry with tongs, two tongs, and they'd hold so many brick, and you'd have them, and you'd go up and down the ladder taking these bricks to these bricklayers. And they're making money on how many bricks they lay. So they, come on. And I couldn't quit because my stepfather got me the job. I couldn't quit. And I remember they came around one day, and I worked with a bunch of guys, and, you know, you get to know each other. And they were giving pink slips out to some of us. And one guy, they gave one to, and he said, oh, man, he was so disappointed. And I didn't know the Lord back then, but I know I was praying, amen. I said, yeah, give me one of those. And they gave me one and laid me off, and I was as happy as I could be, amen. What's bad news for one can be good news for another. And so we have that. And so we have to take our minds and say, what is good? What is bad? What is right? What is wrong? What is light? What is dark? And what does God want us to do with all of these things? So when you talk about circumstances, those are things in our life. How are things? How are your circumstances? That's where most people usually go when they think about this. And there's good and there's bad circumstances. In Genesis chapter 42, verse 36, and Jacob their father said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. Well, Joseph was alive, Simeon was alive, and he just thought that they weren't. And then he thought he would lose Benjamin, his son. There's a story there about Joseph and being sold into slavery in Egypt. But he said, all these things are against me. They were not against him. God was working something out for God's glory and to increase the faith of the Israelites, the people there. So the end of the story, there was a good ending. Sometimes false suppositions bring true grief. We look at something and we judge it, and it's not that way at all, but it brings true grief. But then you go to Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All these things are against me, to all things work together for good. And so we take the scripture and we look at that. There's so many times we look at a circumstance and we say, hopeless, wow, bad. But on the other side of that, when God calms the storm, we're thankful that we did the right thing and just followed him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, I know these are a bunch of verses and they're probably familiar to you, but every verse is so powerful if we could apply it to our life. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, how about this? What's a good thing? What's a bad thing? We usually think of good circumstances as no problems. Good luck with that one, right? In the world you should have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So we have this time, we have the present time, present things, future things, present, future. And we live in the present only. We don't see what God is doing. We don't see what God can do. We don't see what maybe suffering in this life is going to produce glory in the next. But the Bible says here in 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." This, it's going to happen. These things take place. They're fiery trials. And it goes on there, and it says, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Things present, things to come. In this life, it's a fiery trial. In this life, it's a temptation, a hardship. In this life, what am I going to do? But God is doing something with that thing. We're a partaker of Christ's sufferings that we might rejoice in the future. Jesus endured the cross. He suffered all the shame and the agony and the rejection for the joy that was set before him. It was before him. So it wasn't just this life. Amen? If it's all focused on this life, it's comfort, it's protection, it's whatever it is. Wow, that's good. But sometimes the sacrifice, sometimes the trial. What's the verse? I can't think of it. Can you think of it, Richard? You can't think of it either. Yeah. About the trial of our affliction. That's a good one, but that's not the one. Anyway, we'll just move on. There's a lot of them. Partakers of Christ's sufferings. Have you ever been a partaker of Christ's sufferings? It says that we might rejoice in the future. So we live our life and we don't run from hard things, bad things. We embrace that because God can do something through that in our life, in effect, for somebody else too. Circumstances. How are things? How are your circumstances? That's usually the answer there. But you have another thing too. Substance. Do you have things? Things, substance. That is something that's real, something that's tangible. And again, we can call some of it good and we can call some of it bad. Well, I think it's good to have a lot of money. Okay. But the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So you look at that. How many times have we read in the paper somebody won the lottery and it ruined their life? Or here's a sports figure and they signed a big contract and it ruined their life. Or they abused it. You know, there's nothing wrong with having money. The thing is, what's wrong is money having us. Amen? So you have that. You have all of this. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is on the Mount of Temptation. And the devil comes along and he tempts him in three ways. But the last one was, he saith to the Lord, the devil did, "All these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me." And what were the things? It was the kingdom. It was something that he could put his hands on. Now, Christ knew that he was going to inherit the kingdom anyway. Amen? And so he didn't take that offer because there was scripture that said you're only supposed to worship God. So we do that. It just goes on and on and on. Philippians 3:8, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ." The Apostle Paul, brilliant man, could have had anything he ever wanted, but he just took off on mission trips. He lived day by day. He depended on sustenance from God and from other people. He could have had, a wonderful, prestigious life, but he gave himself to the Lord, even to suffer shame for his name. And he says, "I count the loss of all things as dung." I mean, that's what it means to me, that I might win Christ. He saw what was true about life. What a blessing. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. "What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" In Hebrews chapter 11, you have the story of Moses. And Moses chose rather to suffer shame with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, some people would say, look at the pleasures. That's a good thing. Moses saw that as a bad thing, but he saw as a good thing serving the Lord. Amen? And so he did that. He gave up a kingdom. He gave up everything so he could serve Almighty God. And he said, that's the best thing. That's the thing that is going to count for eternity. We have substitutions. What's something I can substitute for this? And boy, we get into that too, because we want to be happy, we want to be secure, we want to be whatever. I will trade this thing for that thing, because this thing I don't enjoy, but that thing I will enjoy, so I'll swap them out. I'll get rid of this so I can get this. Boy, there's so many Bible illustrations of this. Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good, good evil, that put darkness for light, light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter, because they don't see it right. You have in Psalm 106, verse 15, here's the children of Israel, and they're in the wilderness, and God is giving them manna that's bread from heaven. It's a picture of the Bible. It's also a picture of Christ. And they start to complain. This manna, man, we're sick of this. We eat this all the time. Honey, can't you fix me something besides manna, you know? And so they're sick of this manna. So they prayed that God would give them meat for their lusts. And the Bible says there in Psalm 106, 15, he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They would rather have meat for their lusts than manna for their souls. So they got what they wanted, but they lost what they had. It was a bad deal. They got switched out, and man, they were sincere. Man, I don't want this man anymore. I want meat. And, you know, meat in the Bible, it's a picture of the carnal man in some ways. You have a carnival. That's a flesh involved in a carnival. You know, you have a carnivorous animal. It's a flesh-eating animal. You have carnality. That's the flesh against the spirit. And so they wanted meat, and God allowed that to happen. But they had leanness of soul. Remember Esau in the Bible? He was hungry. He thought he was going to die. That was a joke. But he had the birthright, but his brother Jacob said, I'll sell you. I'll give you some porridge. I'll give you something to eat if you sell me your birthright. And Esau said, what good is the birthright to me if I die? Yeah, give me the porridge. You can have the birthright. That was the story. And you find in Hebrews chapter, I think it's chapter 11, it says, though he sought repentance, he sought it with tears, but he couldn't find it. He had sold the birthright, and that's how it worked out. But he gave up something so precious, the birthright, something spiritual, for a mess of pottage, just for something carnal. Genesis, well, what good things have you given up and you found something bad after you gave it up? You don't have to answer that, amen. And wives, you don't have to answer for your husbands, and husbands, you don't have to answer for your wives. Just everybody be quiet, amen. But what good things have you given up and replaced with bad things? There's probably something. What bad things have you given up and replaced with good things? It's important for us to have wisdom to know what to give up and what to seek, right? You don't want to give this up because then you'll be seeking this. And you want to give this up so you can seek that. It's important to have that wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God can do that. Circumstances, substance, Genesis 13, 11. Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. Here's Abraham and Lot. They have strife. And so Abraham says, Lot, you choose. Choose anywhere you want. It's your land. I don't want the strife. You can have it. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and he said, boy, that's a good place to be. But it was Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a wicked place. And though he didn't get in the city right away, he just kept getting closer and closer and closer. And you know how that story ends. I mean, it was a tragedy, absolute tragedy. But he made the wrong choice way back here. He lifted up his eyes. He said, that's where I'm going. That's the best business deal. Man, I'll be well off if I take that. Look at that land. And he chose the wrong thing. Amen? It's not that you don't choose the best business deal, but at what cost? And it cost him so much. Isaiah 66:4, God says this, when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. So God shows us what he delights in. And so he says, think on this, follow this, make this a part of your life. That's a good thing. When God calls it a good thing, it's a good thing. And it doesn't matter if there's sacrifice or suffering involved in it, because there's a thing that God is going to do and going to be glorified through that. If you want, you can turn back to Isaiah 58. I'm going to read a couple verses here. If you don't want to do that, I will just start reading. But it's Isaiah 58, and I'm going to start reading in verse 11. Isaiah 58:11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. This is speaking about the nation of Israel. This is speaking about the Jews here. In verse 12 it says, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. A repairer and a restorer. God says, this is good. This is good. Now, here's how that's going to take place. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own way, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. If you don't pick your own way, pick my way. If you don't pick your own pleasure, there's pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. But at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Your own words, don't pick your own words. Give out my word. God says, I will bless. Amen? Sometimes we want to be in charge of our own life and we keep doing the same thing, you know, keep making the mistake. But that's in Isaiah 58. There's so much more. What things can we choose to be a blessing to our homes? What could we choose from the Word of God that would be a blessing to our homes? Joshua said in 24:15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What would we do to make our home, our relationships more spiritual, more peaceful, more comforting, more full of grace, full of mercy, full of understanding? Amen? Well, God says that's what you ought to choose. That is a good thing to choose. What things can we choose to be a blessing to our church? Amen? God has so much instruction. The whole New Testament's really about that. All the epistles, they're church epistles, where Paul is giving instruction, but it's the Word of God. And so we find out, what could we do to be a blessing to the church? We could pray for it, support it, serve it, sacrifice for it. Amen. Enjoy it. Amen. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. We can come together and worship. We can pray together. All of those things. We can bring people. That's what God would tell us to do. We would choose that because that's something that we could do for our church. 2 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 12. Joab and Abishai are fighting the enemy. They're the good guys, Joab and Abishai. And they said, be of good cheer, let us play the men for our people, for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good. And one said to the other, if the enemy's too strong for you, I'll come and help you. But if the enemy's too strong for me, you come and help me. That's what God wants us to do in a church. Amen. That's what he wants us to do in a family. So life is made up of choices. We ought to choose the right things. But you can only choose the right things if you have understanding of what the right things are. Amen. It has to be the right way, not our way. The right word, not our word. The right thing to bring pleasure, not our pleasure. And when we do that, God will make us restorers and repairers. And that will be helped. People will come to us for help. We'll give help. We'll be a blessing to other people. Let's get back to the things. How do we respond to things? Well, if you think it's a good thing, you respond good. Amen? If you think it's a bad thing, a lot of times we say, man, bad response. But there could something very good come out of a bad thing. Joseph went to prison. Amen? You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. There was a bad thing. Who wants to go to prison? Unjustly go. Amen? And you don't even know. He didn't know he was only going to be there 2 years. But there he is. He's faithful. He's serving the Lord. He has an excellent spirit. Right, you're going in the lion's den. And how about the three Hebrew children? We'll cast you into the fiery furnace. Those are all bad things unless they bring glory to God. Then God can make a good thing out of a bad thing. Amen? He makes even the evil to praise him. I mean, there's so many truths here. So how do we respond to things? We look at something, some relationship, some trial, some lack, and we look at it as a bad thing, but God may want to show himself strong on our behalf. God may want to do something for us. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it says, and desperately wicked, who can know it? We don't know our own heart. So what we do, like David, who is a very spiritual man, Psalm 139, 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God, you search and you lead. You reveal and you lead. Because when we do it, our hearts are deceitful. They're desperately wicked. If, oh, just follow your heart. I don't think that's a good idea. You know, follow the word. Follow the word of God. Because he searches the heart. And it's such a blessing that he does that. So his answer always comes from the Bible. In the parable of the seed and the sower, in Mark chapter 4, one of the last seeds that was sown fell in a certain ground. And it said, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. Boy, that's a big area too. The lusts of other things. Well, man, I mean, there's so much out there, isn't there? And what might be a real temptation or a lust for one person is not for another person. And remember this, the devil sows seeds also. God is sowing seed. That's his word. The devil sows seed. That's philosophy. That's hypocrisy. That's all these other things, the lies of the devil. And we say, boy, I really believe this. You better take it to the word of God. Because these other things can choke the word and make it unfruitful. And what is it? The deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things. John 8:29. Jesus said this, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Always those things that please him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He did always those things that pleased the Lord. He gave his back to the smiters. He gave his cheeks to those that plucked out his beard. He gave himself to be crucified for the joy that was set before him and to do his Father's will. That's why he came into this world. To die for me, to die for you. Amen? God says, take up your cross and follow me. Well, you know. And we all have our idea of what things we're going to do for God, or we just need to find out what God says. And as we think of those things, we're able to sacrifice. We're able to pick up our cross and follow him. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm almost done. Just a couple more portions of scripture, and then we'll be done with the introduction. Amen. To some, that would be a good thing, and to some, it would be a bad thing. All right, look at Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? There's all kinds of trials listed here. It says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? That's quite a list. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, I mean, the list is unbelievable. All the suffering, all the trial, the whole chapter is about that. But nothing is going to separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of God. Nothing. No thing. Amen? So in all things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. That's pretty inclusive. I don't think you can add to that. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in all these things, here's the great list, we're more than conquerors. We are going to have hard times in the future. We've had hard times in the past. What's the old saying? Things aren't going my way. You know? And so we get into a situation where things aren't going my way, and God says, now I want to help you through that. And you know, I know it's a hard thing. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 8, where we were, verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. We're just waiting for the Lord to come, because present things, future things, things of earth, things of heaven. Amen. This is just a short time. It's like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. If it's 70, that's 70, some 80, some 90, some live longer than that, but we're all headed to the same place. This is just a short span. Our days, David said, teach me to number my days, because they go by so quickly. I mean, the older you get, listen, it's almost February, and then it's going to be March, and then winter's going to be over. Man, just like that. Amen? That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Let the winter fly, but slow the summer down. Amen? I don't know if you can do that. Luke chapter 12. Just turn over there. This is the last portion we'll look at. Luke chapter 12. So much instruction in the Bible. God give us wisdom to know what are good things and what are bad things. What are true things? What are false things? Give us the wisdom to choose, even to suffer, if it's going to bring glory to your name. The things of the earth, the things of heaven. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. But you can't tell a lot of people that. Because it's all about more things and more things and more things. And it says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? For so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This in no way is saying not to have financial security and not to have nice things, and that no way is saying that. But this man, his whole life was involved in this. That's what it was. I just need more things and more things and more things. And it was almost frustrating. I've got to tear down this to build this. You know, I've got to destroy this house to build a mansion, you know. And you get into all of that. Things, things, things. There are things that we're not supposed to set our affection on. But we can enjoy. But we can set our affection on the giver of the gift, not the gift. Amen? And it is in his will and his right to take away the gift if he wants to bestow it on somebody else. So we thank God for whatever he does in our life. 1 Corinthians 2:9, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but the Spirit hath revealed them unto us. So there are things, they're coming. Amen? Things. Tangible. We're going to have a new body. How about that? Amen? You can't beat that. We're going to have a new mind. And we'll never repeat ourselves again. We're going to have a new mind. And we'll never repeat ourselves again. We're going to have a new mind. You know the rest of the story, right? I mean, it's amazing. I don't remember that. I don't remember that. We're going to have a new mind. And there's things that we will forget that are going to be good. It will be worth it all. The things of God will be worth it. There's a song that has a verse in it. And the things of earth shall grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Things present, things to come. This present evil world, things to come. No sin, no sorrow. Amen. And God's going to do something in our life down here and allow something, I should say. Look at Job, what Job went through. Though he slay me, yet will I praise him. You know? But what's it say about Job? He's speaking about God. He hath stripped me. He hath stripped me. He took everything. But we have the book of Job in this book, and what a comfort and a help it's been to read the last chapter. When Job prayed for his friends, God turned the captivity of Job. That's a whole nother sermon. But when you read the Bible, you find out that this bad thing turned into a good thing. And for the wrong reason, this good thing turned into a bad thing. They didn't want the manna. They wanted meat for their lust. I hope God has spoken to you. I hope he has shown you something today. Just ask God for the wisdom to make the right choice and make that choice according to this book. Amen? And God will get glory out of your life, even if you're a partaker of his sufferings, because God will do something with that. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, bless your word. There's so many trials, so many hardships in our assembly today. There's so many blessings. There's so many comforts and helps. Lord, may we think on the right thing today. May we choose the right action. Not our words, our ways, our pleasure, but yours. God, help us. Please help us. Take the scales from off our eyes. Enlighten us today about our own life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.